Welcome to the Awakening Podcast Network. Get ready for an inspiring audio from this cutting-edge voice. You can find more podcasts at awakeningpodcasts.com.
You want to go deeper? Get equipped to overcome and walk in God's purpose for your life at Awakening House of Prayer's online campus. You'll experience an online family, preaching, teaching, and prophetic impartation for victorious living. We have over 1,000 members online, hungry for what God is saying and doing in the earth. Visit ahop.online today and join our family. AHOP TV empowers believers with spirit-inspired messages and strategic equipping that accelerates your spiritual growth. You can subscribe to stream weekly content from Awakening House of Prayer, conferences, and other exclusive content to stir your hunger and encourage your heart. Visit us online at ahop.tv.
We are living in a day of big time harvest. This is an hour, probably the most exciting hour in all of church history, where a major harvest is being gathered worldwide. It is going to continue to escalate. So what does that mean to us? That means that we need to be ready. And I have with me Dr. Jonathan Welton today. Jonathan, it's always good to have you with us. And we're going to feature especially this book, Equipping the Equippers. And we need people equipped for the work of the ministry. Yes. There's a big harvest out there, but we need to be equipped for that harvest. So I just want to glean so much from you today. But first of all, why did you write this book?
Well, there's so many different revelations that are coming to the body right now. And with these revelations, we also need leadership to carry them. We need role models. We need people that are exemplifying character and truth and wisdom. And the title, Equipping the Equippers, it's kind of a weird little title, but I pull it from Ephesians 4 that talks about apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, these five gifts that Christ gave the church, and that they are for equipping the saints. What we've seen over the last 10 to 15 years is saints being trained in ministry and supernatural and healing and miracles. And that's tremendous. We need people trained in the prophetic, but we also need people trained as prophets. So we need trainers as well as trainees.
So you're saying that we need to equip fivefold ministry gifts, because it's one thing to be gifted as an apostle or prophet or teacher, but another thing to be equipped as such too.
That's right.
Right?
That's
so you can be gifted, but you still need to be trained and equipped.
Yeah, we're coming out of a time in church history where these haven't been acknowledged. And so we have ministry schools and seminaries that people can go and become a pastor. But where do you go if you're a prophet?
Right.
And you know you're called as that. And how do you get to that point? And a lot of the leaders that are writing books are saying, well, it's going to take decades.
Right.
And I don't understand. I see there's a missing piece here between the different fivefold. We need more prophets, more good, healthy, trained prophets.
Yeah.
As much as we need pastors, as much as we need apostles and teachers and evangelists.
And where do you find a specific school for apostles?
Right.
Or even for teachers? I mean, definitely, you know, university programs to teach theology touches on that a bit, but
we create theologians, but none of them heal the sick and raise the dead.
Exactly.
We need fivefold teachers.
The 1960s and how it was such a transitional era.
Yeah.
In many ways, and in a way, it was the secular world that defined the transition.
Yeah.
Because with groups like the Beatles and that, in that revolution, there was definitely a spiritual revolution during that time where the New Age came in and started, you know, believers that had been churched and traditionally going to services, but never actually knowing that they were called by God to go out and reach the world around them and influence the world around them. It was more like a church culture rather than a kingdom culture. But now, since the 60s, we started hearing more about the prophets. Like, I remember when prophets was first brought up.
Yeah.
It was like, wow, what a controversy. What? We don't have that. And yes. Same with apostles, which has been fairly recent, actually, in the last 25 years or so.
Yes.
Maybe a little bit more than that, but not much longer.
Yeah.
It's like, what, apostles? No way.
Yeah.
You know, but there's forerunners like Peter Wagner and that who helped
identify
that apostolic ministry. But then it's one thing having it defined, and like you say, another thing, being trained and equipped for it.
Yes, and all of the history you're mentioning really ties into the book as well, because I believe that where we are in the body is a third movement regarding this. The first
Tell us about that.
Yeah, the Jesus people movement, which you were saved from, right?
Right.
You
mm-hmm.
saved into
saved
the
him,
church.
Yeah,
not
yeah.
from, but into the church.
Yeah.
That there was this massive influx of young people getting saved in the early 70s. Mm-hmm. And it's been nicknamed the Jesus people movement. And the that time period, there were five major ministers who came together to form a group that became known as shepherding or discipleship movement. And part of that was the idea of the fivefold ministry was for today. And at its height, there were 100,000 home groups that were attached to that. So it was a massive movement.
It was.
Now, it eventually changed and kind of dismantled. But in the 90s, Peter Wagner, as you mentioned, Dr. Peter Wagner, began to emphasize it again. So a second movement of the Holy Spirit from 1995 to 2005. And there was a slew of books that were written out of that movement. But from 2005 until the present, I called Christian publishers and I asked, is there anything on this? And I could find less than five books on the fivefold ministry.
Wow.
So we have gone quiet about this.
Mm-hmm.
Now when I mention fivefold ministry, for most platforms, there's a response of either fear because of past mistakes or boredom from, oh, I think I know it all already. And both of those responses are from the previous movements.
Right.
But there's a fresh breath on this right now.
Wow.
And this fresh breath is really, it's raising up the right heart, that there's apostles who don't just have a title.
Come on.
But they have the heart of the Father.
Come on.
That fathering heart is coming through. The foot-washing leaders are reappearing. Prophets that are not just giving words, but want everybody to hear the Father's voice.
Right.
So all five are reappearing. And for some of us, it might be surprising to know, even if you go back to 1830, when Charles Finney appeared, the great revivalist Charles Finney, he was one of the first ones to pioneer the idea of the evangelist still existing in the church.
Wow.
It was as foreign in 1830 to be an evangelist as it is to be an apostle now.
How interesting.
So we've come a long way.
Yeah.
We got a little ways to go, but these things are here until we reach the unity of the faith.
Right.
Is what Ephesians 4 says.
Right.
So we're still plowing ahead.
Now, Jonathan, you are an equipper of the equippers, and you have an academy. Share with us a little bit about that.
Yeah, this really became a burden on my heart a few years ago. We're 5 years into running the Welton Academy, Supernatural Bible School, and we've had about 3,000 people go through it now, and it became a burden that we don't need another school that gives out doctorates and masters and divinity degrees and all of that. What we really need is a school that will take the risk of training up apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. I remember we spoke on the phone and we said, I don't know anybody doing this. It's radical. Go for it.
Yeah.
And that's what we're doing. We're in our second year now. We've commissioned a group of prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, and I'm training up the first batch of apostles right now.
That's awesome.
So we're going for it.
It's so good, Jonathan. It's really exciting. You mentioned a few moments ago about the heart of the fivefold ministers.
Yes.
Talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah, one of the confusions from some of the earlier movements that were restoring this to the church was a confusion over 1 Corinthians 12 that says first apostles, second prophets, third teachers. And so it ended up with this hierarchy that was very problematic. And so there's been a lot of mistakes, a lot of hurts, a lot of control where there didn't need to be control. And in the passage, actually, Paul is talking about first in dishonor, that apostles are dishonored the most. If somebody were to back up in the passage and read, He says they're the unpresentable parts of the body. They're the dishonored parts. They're treated the worst. And they are treated the worst, but it doesn't mean that they're given a position to be controlling.
Right.
And that's where it becomes a
problem. Yeah, there's so much like that is outside of a kingdom culture would be this controlling thing or wanting title or wanting honor. I was just talking to a young minister not that long ago because he was definitely wanting to train his people to be honoring. Right, which is a good thing.
Yes.
Because God wants us to be honorable.
Yeah.
But the way he was doing it was saying, because I'm the pastor of the church, you need to honor me. Mm-hmm. You need to honor my wife, and therefore you need to be doing this, you need to be doing that, and taking up offerings and all that. And I said to him, I said, it just seems so opposite of the nature of Jesus Christ, is that honor has to be given. It can't be taken. Number one, it has to be given. And when it's given, it's to be given back to the Lord. So it's like there's something missing in this picture of the heart of God. Like Jesus never got up before his disciples and said, you know, you need to take up an offering for me and you need to do this for me and you need to wash my feet and you need to do this. Instead, he went and washed their feet. He went and gave to them. He sacrificed for all of us. He sacrificed his whole life. Yeah. And to me, that is the heart of a true minister.
Yeah, I love that. We're so on the same page with this. The idea of even when we tie in submission, which is such a scary word for people, and it's been used in terrible ways. Mm-hmm. But when Jesus in John 13 kneels down to wash Peter's feet, Peter has to submit to let Jesus wash his feet.
Exactly.
And at first he's not willing. And I've taken the same stance that I will submit to a foot washing leader. I won't submit to control, but I will submit to a foot washing leader.
Wow.
Now, foot washing could be a rebuke sometimes. It's not always it's not always happy and cute, but we do need correction. But the heart is they're there to wash your feet.
So the title of a book that Dr. Jonathan Welton has written, it's awesome. And I know that many of you are really called into equipping believers for their ministries. And all of you as believers are called to go minister. And so this is a very important topic. And just before the break, we were talking about the subject of controlling leaders.
Yes.
And what actually do you think causes control?
So control is an imitation of authority. It's based out of fear. And a true authority is there with a responsibility to serve. So if the Lord says, here's 100 people that I've given you authority for, that's a good thing. But that authority is there to wash those 200 feet.
Right.
But when we make the word authority and control the same thing, we get into a dangerous spot. People think, well, he's given me authority. Mm-hmm. That means he's given me control. Not necessarily. And we've taken this control thing down a toxic road. And there's many, many varieties of how control can show up.
Right.
But really, we're looking for that root of fear.
Right.
That when a leader is operating in fear, they've stepped out of their true authority from a kingdom perspective.
What about pride? Could pride also be a root to it that would be different from fear or...
Different and similar, I think, in some ways. You know, they're afraid about their own significance.
Right.
If I don't control, then I have a loss of significance.
Right.
And so there's a fear, but it comes out a different way. It can be it can be very intimidating. It could be manipulative. Mm-hmm. It could be arrogant. And we've seen the many flavors of fear. You know, it's more than Baskin-Robbins. So.
Yeah. I was actually watching a television program with my husband. Well, back it was a police department, but there was a corrupt policeman in the head of the department. And he was using fear tactics to manipulate people and to shut them up and stuff like that. And I was looking at it and I think, wow, you know, it just angers you because we're not created for that. God is the exact opposite of it.
Yes.
Like he is so liberating and so giving, and when he disciplines or when he brings you into alignment, it's because of love. It's because he wants the best for you, not because he's trying to serve something in himself.
Yes.
And that is our model. And so as we are coming into places where we are equipping others We need to make sure that we are in sync with the heartbeat of God.
You had a teaching some years ago about the narcissism,
right. The narcissism spirit,
and the Lord really highlighted that. I think similarly with this topic of fivefold and apostles and prophets, that the idea of titles gets thrown around a lot.
And
people are at the point of just being sick of even hearing, like, oh, apostle so-and-so. Yet there's some value for it. You know, Matthew 10:41 talks about when you receive a prophet as a prophet, you receive the prophet's reward. So they're good for identifying, but they're not good as titles.
Identity.
Identity. There you go.
Yeah, good for identifying, but not for identity.
I like that. That's well said. The idea of many people in ministry are called pastor. We kind of throw one label that everybody feels safe with. But if we were to actually pull all the titles off of everyone and look at the actual grace on their life and then adhere the actual calling to them, it would actually change the landscape dramatically, because lots of people are being called pastor that are prophets or teachers or evangelists.
Right.
And it's actually causing us confusion.
Yeah.
So when we receive an evangelist as a pastor, we don't receive the evangelist reward. We receive confusion instead.
Right. Wow.
So we
very
have,
interesting.
It's
yeah.
time to relabel them, not for arrogance or narcissism to feed something, but to identify properly what's in front of us.
Yeah, we should never be afraid of being titled.
Yeah.
As long as it's not something that is making you entitled. Like, you know, sometimes, especially in the day and age that we're living in, there's a lot of entitlement issues out there, and the marketing system of the world is creating a lot of it, but it can transfer into the church as well, this entitlement. And you know, I've seen it, people wanting position, wanting title, wanting certain kind of treatment, and that's always a red flag to me, showing, oh man, you're just missing, you know, you're just missing the heart. You're missing the heart of Jesus. You're missing the very nature of who he is. And I don't think that we can be a leader without embracing his nature. And so
that's good.
I love your heart. And again, Equipping the Equippers is a great book to get and to teach you just principles regarding coming into leadership, but also God's prophetic perspective on this hour that we're living in as well. Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned grace in your book, and you've got you know, a take on that. So share with us on that.
Yeah, there's a lot of messages about grace right now. But one of the things that I found is that grace is not equal, in the sense that grace has been given for all for salvation. But there also are passages that talk about God gives grace to the humble.
Mm-hmm.
Humble people are actually have more grace on their life. And humility is like grace carrying muscle. Like, it's the ability to carry the weight of grace. When Jesus comes down from the mountain in Luke 6, and he looks at his disciples and he picks 12 of them, he designates as apostles, it's a serious thing. He's prayed all night long, because if you think about it, this grace that he's about to put on them of being an apostle is going to kill them. 10 of them are going to die as martyrs. One will kill himself, and the other they will try to martyr and end up exiling.
Wow.
So the grace of being an apostle is a much heavier grace than other graces. So grace has different weights, and humble people can carry more.
Right.
So there's dynamics about grace that mix into leadership in the church that we've totally missed.
Beautiful. We need to explore it. And for those of you that are watching that might be even new to understanding what grace is, the Bible makes it clear that grace is undeserved, unmerited favor. But more than that, this is what I love about grace. It's his divine influence upon your heart. Mm-hmm. And when grace is on you, it's so easy, because he empowers you, and he, you know, it's almost like you're in sync with him. You're thinking like him. You're acting like him. Power is there. The ease is there.
Yes.
Everything is there. And so pray for more grace, because it's so beautiful. And, you know, we were just looking at some scriptures this Sunday, actually, in our church service on how to position yourself for more grace and humility. It's all through the Bible. Humility will give you more grace. And Peter calls it greater grace will be given to the humble. Greater grace.
That's right.
So if you want greater measures, it's through humility. So it's beautiful.
And I think of grace as something that rolls downhill.
Yeah.
The lower you are, the more is going to pool around your life.
Yeah, so beautiful.
And grace is like a substance even.
Right.
It's, people think of it as like a theological concept. I need more grace, whatever that looks like. But I think of it like a thick oil put on somebody. You have more grace on your life.
Yeah.
And we wear it. We work with it.
Yeah. Oh, Lord, right now we just pray for more grace. I love it. Just even the very mention of that name, grace, makes me want more. Oh, Lord, thank you. That is your amazing, outrageous grace given to every believer. Oh, yes. Okay. Finally, in the few minutes that we have left, I want you to share about how you see the family of God going at this time. And you mentioned in your book about the hugging song.
That's right. That's right. So one of my large chapters in the middle is all about the heart of a leader, and that no matter which grace you're carrying, we have to have the right heart, which is open, transparent, vulnerable, not distant from people, but connected. And years ago, I started a small Bible study in my parents' house. It outgrew it. We went to a cafe. And it wasn't a Christian cafe. It was just a cafe that said, come on in and have your Bible study. And we ended up having about 50 people in the room
every week.
It was a little mini church. And one of the things we would do, we didn't have space for a worship team. We just put up a stereo with a CD. And one of the songs, part of our worship time, was a song many of us remember, In the Secret, In the Quiet Place. But it starts with a big drum roll. And when you heard that drum roll, you knew, I have 3.5 minutes before the song ends to hug every person in the room. And so people would be all over the place and climbing over chairs. But it was still open to the public. So you'd have a random person come in to get their coffee, and they see all these young people singing together, and then all of a sudden everybody's hugging, and now you're getting hugged.
Oh.
And you just came in off the street. We actually had, this was during the time when the goth movement with the kids with the long trench coats and the black makeup and everything would come every week. A few of them would come and stand against the wall. They would never say a word. They wouldn't sing the songs, but then they'd hug everybody.
Oh.
And then they would leave. And I convinced them one week, would you please stay? And so I got to interview them in front of the whole room and ask them, why do you come? And they said, this is the only place in a week that we feel loved.
Oh, wow.
And
they came for the hug.
They came for the hug.
Oh,
they came to church for the
beautiful.
Hug. And several of them we saw actually come and accept Jesus out of that, because we're supposed to be known by our love.
Yeah, exactly. And also, the household of faith is to be that, a household, a family.
A family.
And it's like when the unsaved feel that family love, they'll come in because everyone wants to belong. We've been created with a sense of belonging. You know, God created us to know that we belong to Him.
So to be children that hear that Spirit crying out, Abba.
Yeah.
And there's fathers and mothers in the church too.
Yeah. Oh, that's so beautiful.
Yeah.
And God is doing a lot of that right now too, of putting the church inside of environments that are not the traditional environments, right?
Yes.
And so I really, really appreciate that story that you shared. We want to thank you for joining us in the interview. And again, I want to highlight Equipping the Equippers, this book by Dr. Jonathan Welton. I think would be a valuable book for you to receive insight on the fivefold ministry gifts and how to get ready for it. I have a couple of prophetic words that I want to release over you, because there's someone watching today and you've had some prophetic words over you recently. Two or three of them that have labeled you as an apostle, and you are confused because you don't even know what it is. And I'm just saying, this is your next confirmation. I feel really strongly that God has something very significant for you in these coming days in that way of serving the body. You don't have to be concerned about it, but God's, you know, you don't have to be worried. In other words, you don't have to try to make it happen, but God's going to give you material that will help help you understand that role and calling, and you're just going to flow into it. So don't worry about it. Don't force it. The next word I have is for someone you're already pastoring, actually, but you've been feeling very unsettled in your spirit, and you felt the grace lift, and you don't know what to do, but actually your heart's being turned to evangelism, and there's a new grace coming upon your life for evangelism in this season, and you're going to assign someone else into the pastorate so that you will be free to pursue this new walk. So thank you so much for joining us today, and remember that God loves you with an everlasting love, and go out and share that love with someone else. We'll see you next time.
This has been a production of the Awakening Podcast Network. Jennifer LeClaire is the founder and owner of APN. Our heart is to inspire people and exalt Jesus with every broadcast. We're grateful for our advertisers and supporters that make these podcasts possible.